I come to you tonight as we continue our Bible study through the Gospel of Matthew, and we will be looking this evening at Matthew chapter 26. We will look at verses 33 to 35. But before we begin our Bible study, I'd like to begin our time together this evening under the Word of God at Psalm 39. So if you have your Bible, turn with me now to Psalm 39. Psalm 39. Dear ones, as you are turning in your Bible to Psalm 39, again, we'll read the entirety of the Psalm together. Friends, the Word of God says, "To the choir master, to Yeduthun, a Psalm of David. I said, I will guard my ways, that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle as long as the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I held my peace to no avail. And my distress grew worse. My heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Selah. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. But now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of the fool. I am mute. I do not open my mouth, for it is you who have done it. Remove your stroke from me. I am spent by the hostility of your hand. When you discipline a man with rebuke for sins, you consume like a moth what is dear to him. Surely all mankind is a mere breath. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears, for I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers. Look away from me, that I may smile again before I depart and am no more." Dear friends, this is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you again tonight for your word. We praise you, Father, that you have spoken to us in ways, in terms that we can understand. Father, we praise you that you are not a God who has isolated yourself from us, but you have disclosed your glory and you have made known to us your good and holy purposes. You have revealed your holy character. You have revealed the relationship you created us, Father, to enjoy with you. And Father, we confess tonight that we are sinners, every one of us. O Lord, that as we look to your word, it is as a mirror that reflects our face and reveals just how wicked and sinful we are. Father, we confess once again our sin, and Lord, we pray, have mercy upon us tonight. Father, we pray that by your word you would reveal the pride that is still within us, that you would reveal your grace, your sovereign grace and work in us. And Father, we pray that by your word, by the truth, you would mold and unite our hearts to Christ, that we would tonight treasure him more, love him more, and serve him more faithfully. Oh, dear Spirit, we can do nothing apart from you. So come and enable and empower us to hold fast to Christ, to resist sin and temptation. But when we sin, O Lord, to return to Christ and to trust in his steadfast love. Father, have mercy upon us. We need your help tonight. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Well, dear friends, as I said, let us turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26, for our Bible study this evening. Matthew 26, grab your Bible, turn with me to verse 31 of Matthew 26. We'll read down to verse 35, And again, our exposition will be Matthew 26, verses 33 to 35. Dear ones, the title of this evening's sermon, True but Imperfect. True but imperfect, and not yet perfect love. Matthew 26, beginning at verse 31. Friends, the word of God says, Then Jesus said to them, You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered him, Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. Friends, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. A true but not yet perfect love. Dear ones, what I want to set before you tonight is that the Bible teaches that every true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ has a God-given, Spirit-granted, Father bequeath love for the Son of God. That what it means to be a disciple is to be born again and to have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts so that we have a true love for Jesus. We desire him as our King. We cling to him as our Savior. We desire and we are beginning to follow him as our Lord. But even though there is a true love for Christ, it is an imperfect love. We do not love Christ with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We do not love our neighbor as ourselves. That true love is not yet been perfected. The root of the matter is in us because God, by his grace, has given to us new hearts. But dear ones, it's a not yet perfected love. And therefore, dear ones, we have a fight. We have a battle ahead. We must continue to strive against the flesh and the world and the devil. We must cling to Christ and his sovereign grace. And friends, this is what we see here tonight as we look at Peter and the disciples' response to Jesus' foretelling of their grave and grievous abandonment of him. Friends, we see very much here our own response. So recall that Jesus and the disciples are on their way from Jerusalem up to the Mount of Olives, and from the Mount of Olives they will go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And so Jesus is walking with the disciples, and again, it's the very hours before his betrayal, the very moments before he will drink the cup of the Father's wrath for his people. He will suffer in our place, dear Christian, and bear our guilt and make atonement once and for all for our sins. This is the dark night of the soul for Jesus. This is his entire purpose in coming into this world. Dear friends, the incarnation was leading to the cross. Easter is that the Christmas is what leads us to Easter. It is because the Son of God took on flesh and dwelt among us, so that in the fullness of time he would live and die and be raised for our justification, for our pardon, for our acceptance, for our reconciliation to a holy and just God. And so the weight of this holy hour is weighing upon Jesus. And so as he is walking, he speaks and foretells that the disciples will all desert him. They will scandalize him. They will fall away. And we spoke last week of how there's great sting in betrayal. And Christ knows that sting. And he understands the agony of abandonment. And so we can trust our Lord Jesus when we ourselves are abandoned and forsaken and used and misused by others, because our Lord Jesus understands the depths of having trust broken, having friends forsake him, having bonds of fellowship cruelly and so quickly broken. He is the suffering servant of the Lord. He is our great merciful high priest. Dear friends, our Lord Jesus endured all that comes into living life in a fallen world. And so he is a faithful high priest for us. In fact, he was tempted at all points as we are, yet he was without sin. But notice Peter's response here in verse 33. Peter responds to this prophecy of Christ that he along with all the other disciples will deny Christ, but that Jesus will restore them after he rises from the dead, that he will restore them in Galilee. Peter responds to this with bravado, with great zeal. Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." And see, oftentimes in the scriptures, Peter is speaking for the disciples. And as we see a little bit later on in verse 35, the disciples are in agreement with Peter. But also Peter, as he's set forward in the Gospels, he is so zealous at times. It's Peter who gives the great confession at Caesarea Philippi. "You, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." It was Peter that Jesus acknowledged and blessed as the one to whom this had been revealed to him by the Father, and promised that he would be a rock upon which he would build his church, that it would be on the testimony of Peter as a witness to the gospel, as an apostle, that Christ would build his church. And so Peter is, on the one hand, one of the greatest of the apostles, the leader and spokesman. He's one of the three disciples that are so close to Jesus. And Peter, more than anything, truly loves Jesus. And that's what shines through here. Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never deny you." There's all kinds of mixed motives here. On the one hand, there is perhaps, and rightly so, a bit of pride on Peter's part. He won't fall away. He's a strong fisherman. He has a trust in the Lord. He has a trust and such a deep devotion to Jesus that he will never scandalize. And notice how Peter says that. He says, "Though they all, even all these disciples, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Peter's exposing a bit of self-confidence, a bit of pride, but friends, what's also mixed in there is a genuine, true love. He loves Jesus, and he doesn't want to deny him. He doesn't want to scandalize Christ. He doesn't want to abandon and forsake him. This is an abhorrent thought to Peter. Because friends, even though there is so much, there is pride welling up in Peter, and there is a settled confidence in their own ability, which is badly placed. Nevertheless, Peter and the disciples have a love for Christ, and they don't want to abandon him. In their heart, they don't. And so they protest and profess their fidelity and their faithfulness. Dear friends, every true disciple has a love for Jesus and a desire to be loyal to him. If you are a Christian friend, you have a new heart. God has taken away your heart of stone, a heart that was once hard and impenitent, rejecting the rule of God, despising the grace of God, seeing no beauty or loveliness in the Lord Jesus. And God did a heart transfer, and he removed that stubborn, dark, lifeless heart and gave you a heart of flesh a new heart, a new inner person, and you have new affections, you have new desires, you have new thinking patterns. You are a new creature, the Bible says, in Christ Jesus. The life of Christ is being manifest, worked out in your mortal body. And the Father himself is sanctifying you, making you holy by the Word. And so there is within the soul of every true Christian a heart that beats for Jesus, a heart that loves him as our Savior and wants to follow him as our Lord. And from this powerful new affection come works of obedience, a zeal and an enjoyment of Christ, a love for his word, a love for his people, a love for his gospel, a love for a lost and dying world that need to hear that Jesus saves. Dear friends, every Christian has a true love, but it's not yet a perfect love. And it's a love sometimes that we don't recognize for how imperfect it is. Because, dear friends, Peter and the disciples, they're putting confidence in their own flesh and their own ability. Though they all fall away, Peter says, I, Peter, will never fall away. Friend, is that you tonight? Are you, as Peter here, protesting your strength, your ability to stand in trial and temptation, that you have the reservoir of strength, of fidelity, of holiness, of continence, that you can stand in that evil day? Friend, let me warn you, even as I warn myself, we cannot, but by the grace of God, stand in what the Bible calls the evil day, that day when temptation comes, that day when God exposes us to temptation to sin. Dear friends, temptation is surely to come into the life of the Christian. Trial and tribulation will come. God has ordained them in his most wise and holy counsel. All sin and temptation, all trial and testing, all of this is ordained by a good, holy, and wise God. And though they are not good in and of themselves, they're ordained for a good purpose, a good end. God ordains these to bring about the end, which is our sanctification, our growth in godliness, and the showcasing of his glory to preserve and to sanctify, to reform, and to use us broken, fickle, finite people as his instruments to bring about his praise. Dear friends, we must depend upon God's sovereign grace. We dare not grow proud. We must always be humble before our God, pleading for his mercy, asking as Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What does that phrase mean in the Lord's Prayer? Well, it means, Father, I pray, according to your sovereign will, Lord, don't lead me into temptation. I know my own frailty. I know my own weakness. I confess that I, in myself, don't have the power to resist temptation and to cling to Christ. Please, O Lord, do not lead me into temptation. But if it be your will that temptation must come, I pray, deliver me, save me from the evil one. Oh, dear friends, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against princes and powers, principalities in the heavenly places, that there is a real spiritual warfare going on in this world. And that, friends, as Christians, temptation comes from the flesh within, from the world without, and even from the devil himself, from the forces of darkness. And so, dear friends, we must recognize the battle. We must recognize our weakness, but in recognizing the battle and our own weakness, let us depend upon the sovereign grace of God and of a Savior who is steadfast in his love. Though we fail, he will never be false. He will always be true. So we depend upon him. But notice what Jesus says in verse 34. Jesus said to him, truly, I tell you this very night, Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter looks at, Jesus looks at Peter, and he sees the love. He sees that Peter has a genuine love for him. Oh, Peter was a fool, as we are fools, but he was a loving fool. He thought in his heart of hearts that he could stand against this trial and temptation that was to come, that he would stand for Christ, that his faith was firm, that his love was strong. But Jesus says truly. Now remember, when Jesus says truly, what he is doing is he is giving a rhetorical underscore. He is saying, this is important. Everything Jesus said was true, but some things rise to a greater level of importance. And you see this marked in the scriptures as Jesus says, truly, or truly, truly. Peter, Jesus says, this very night, tonight, before the rooster crows, before morning comes, you will deny me not once, not twice, but three times. Jesus is warning Peter. He's saying, Peter, you do not understand the gravity of the temptation, the trial that is to come upon you. You cannot stand in yourself. You don't have the strength in yourself to withstand in this evil day. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke records for us a little more detail of what Jesus said. Jesus says that Satan asked specifically to have Peter. Satan had requested that the Father let him, Satan, deal with Peter. This prince of the apostles, Satan said, that's the one I want. That's the one I want to sift like wheat, Jesus says. Just like the farmer takes his sifting fork, his sifting paddle, and he lifts up the heap of grain so that the chaff falls away and the grain falls to the earth, so too Satan, by this trial, by this temptation, by these little servant girls, would sift this big, bold fisherman, that he would fall away, scandalizing Christ by his adamant denial. Not once, not twice, but three times. But Jesus told Peter, he said, but I have prayed for you. Oh, dear friends, those are some of the most beautiful words we can ever hear in these moments. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. That when you are restored, comfort the brethren, comfort the brothers. In the midst of this grave warning of Peter's falling into sin, Jesus reminds Peter of whose hand holds him fast. Jesus says, I prayed for you. Those are effectual prayers. Those are prayers that have been ordained by God to effectually preserve his saints in eternal life and in fidelity. That even though Peter would fall, he would not be cast headlong. Though Peter would deny his Lord and Master, he would not ultimately be a denier, because he belonged to Christ. He was his sheep. He belonged to the Father. He was his own. The Spirit sealed him for the day of redemption. And so, when that denial came, when Peter rejected Christ, immediately there came repentance, grief, godly repentance, which leads to life. And Jesus said that his faith would not fail, but after he was restored, he was to comfort the brethren, the brothers. Dear friends, again, put no confidence in the flesh. Let us not put confidence in our own abilities to resist temptation. Dear friends, we seek to resist temptation and we cling to Christ and we put up guards, and we ought to put up guards. We ought to put up guards in our lives, and we ought to do these things. We need accountability partners. We need community. These are good blessings. We need folks that can see into our lives and speak into our lives even as we speak into their lives. People that we love and trust, who we can share our hearts with, our struggles. But, dear friends, even as we may have all these things, we need to find the ultimate reservoir of hope in the sovereign grace of God and in the unfailing, steadfast love of Jesus. Because Jesus prayed for Peter, and it was because Jesus prayed for Peter that his faith failed not. And dear friends, the Bible tells us that Jesus ever lives and intercedes for his saints. Even now, Jesus prays for his elect. He prays for his people. He prays for you, dear Christian. And these prayers are the means that the Father has appointed by which he secures you by his sovereign grace, that though you fall, you will not be cast headlong. That though sin may emerge in our lives, that love has been birthed in our soul, and God has set us on a trajectory to heaven. And one day that love will be perfect. But friends, let us rely upon the sovereign, unfailing, steadfast love of Jesus. Verse 35, Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Peter, even in response to Jesus' grave and dire warning, where does Peter's confidence return? His confidence is in himself. "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." Peter is saying, "I'll do anything and everything. I am ready to go with you, my Lord, even to death." Again, Peter has a true love for Jesus, a true love that every believer has. But it is not yet a perfect love. It's not yet complete. It's not yet perfect. And so, even though there's true love, when the pressure of temptation to deny Christ and to save himself comes to bear on Peter's life, when the prospect of sharing in the sufferings of Christ and sharing in all of the shame and torture and impending death that Jesus was going to endure, in the face of that, Peter yields to temptation. And he denies his Lord and Master three times. But his confidence is in his flesh. And not only him, but also all the other disciples. And all the disciples said the same. Dear friends, just by way of remark, this is one marker that we know that this book must be written by God and not by man, because the Word of God paints men as we are in living color, warts and all. The gospel writers paint themselves in their own denial, in their own rejection, in their own false confidence. And so, friends, we see that God paints for us such a clear picture, such an accurate portrait of who we are, that as disciples of Christ, we have a true love for Jesus, but it's not yet perfect. And it will not be perfected in this life. We are growing in holiness, friend, but we'll never arrive at perfection. Perfection is the goal, because we are to be like Christ, who is perfect. And we are to strive for holiness, because that is the end to which God has called us. And there is great joy in growing in our loving obedience to Jesus and our knowledge of his word and our service of him. This is a holy endeavor, striving after godliness. But even as we are seeking Christ, even as we're progressing to Zion, yet, friend, we must always remember how weak we are, how frail we are, how fickle we are. And let us put no confidence in the flesh, but let us put all confidence in God and his sovereign grace. When we sin, and when we, like Peter, deny our Lord and Master by our word and deed, Because, dear friend, remember that when we sin against God, we are bringing scandal. That our sin really is serious. That even as Christians, though our sin may be pardoned, and though our sin was nailed to the cross, dear friend, it is sin that was so heinous that the Son of God suffered and died for us. It is sin that deserves eternal hell. It is sin that has the effect and consequences in this life of breaking your relationships and bringing scandal and scorn. And so, friends, let us take heed lest we fall. Let us rest on God's sovereign grace. Let us cling to Him. Let us begin to recognize our own frailty. But, dear friends, remember that even when we fall, every Christian has been given by God a new love for Christ. So when we fall, we will not be cast headlong. And so that's where I'll close tonight, friend. Perhaps as we are studying tonight, the Spirit of God has come and awakened your heart. And you are seeing for the first time your sin. And you're seeing how estranged from God you are. Or perhaps, dear Christian, sin is being revealed in your life. And you hear the Lord calling you to repentance, calling you back to Him. You're seeing how scandalizing your sin has been. I want to point you to the cross and know that Jesus forgives sinners. That the Word of God says that if we say we have no sin, we are a liar. But if we confess our sins to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Let me urge you not to wait, but to come to Christ, to trust in Him, to rest in His cross, to reject sin and to depend upon His sovereign grace, for He is able to hold, able to save, able to keep such poor, wretched sinners as we are. Because He is a Savior, a most good and faithful Savior. Let's pray. Father, we ask Your mercy tonight. Oh Lord, this war against the flesh and the world and the devil, oh God, we have not the strength in ourselves. Oh God, have mercy on us. Please come and abide with us. By Your Spirit, strengthen us that we may stand in the evil day. Father, turn our confidence away from the flesh and put our trust wholly in Christ. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray, forgive us for how we have scandalized You by our sin. Oh Lord Jesus, as we see the gravity of our sin, yet we know the magnitude of Your grace, that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Oh Lord Jesus, there is more grace, more goodness, more love and faithfulness in You than there is sin in me. So we will not hide our sin, but we will confess and come and we will rest and follow You. Oh God, please restore and renew us by Your mercy. For we are Your people called by Your name. Father, receive the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, let me read you a benediction tonight. This good word of blessing comes from Jude 24:25. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever.